Welcome to Goddardy. I'm your host, Nani Sellis. When I welcome you to Goddardy, I'm welcoming you back to God. Yes, so many of us are looking for something, and we think that it lies in possessions and things and money and people. But what we're really looking for is our connection to the divine, our connection to God. Tonight is your invitation to look inside of yourself and find God. God has always been there, and God will always be there, and it does not matter how far you have drifted from God, or even if you have any indication of what God is or isn't, God is there. And the reason that God is always there is because you are made of God. God is everything in the universe, and if God is everything in the universe, that must also mean that God is you, and you are God. Take a breath for a moment and imagine that what you inhale is not just air, but it is love, and it is God, for love is God, and we know this, because what else would God be but love? And if love is God, and everything in the universe is God, and you are God, then you must also be love. What would happen if from this moment on you remembered that in fact you are love, and that every breath you take is love, and everything you do is love? How do you think that might change your days? How do you think that might change how you feel? How do you think that might change your relationships? So tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to this, I invite you to sit back and relax and find that connection to the divine. Find that connection that brings you back to yourself. If you've been listening to Goddardy for a while, you know that we always pick an Osho Zen card and we do a meditation as well. So we'll do that meditation in just a moment. Tonight, the card that I picked is the card of possibilities. And this is a beautiful card with many, many colors. And above these hillsides of colors is a beautiful eagle flying over, looking down, looking for possibilities. So let me read directly from the Osho Zen card book here and tell you what this card of possibilities means. Possibilities. Mind can accept any boundary, anywhere. But the reality is that, by its very nature, existence cannot have any boundary. Because what will be beyond the boundary? Again, another sky. That's why I am saying skies upon skies are available for your flight. Don't be content easily. Those who remain content easily remain small. Small are their joys, small are their ecstasies, small are their silences, small is their being. But there is no need. This smallness is your own imposition upon your freedom, upon your unlimited possibilities, upon your unlimited potential. The eagle in this card has an overview of all the possibilities contained in the landscape below. As he flies freely, naturally, and effortlessly through the sky, he is really in his domain, very grand and self-contained. This card indicates that you are at a point where a world of possibilities is open to you. Because you have grown more loving towards yourself, more self-contained, you can work easily with others. Because you are relaxed and at ease, you can recognize possibilities as they present themselves, sometimes even before others can see them. Because you are in tune with your own nature, you understand that existence is providing you with exactly what you need. So enjoy the flight, enjoy your flight, and celebrate all the varied wonders of the landscape spread before you. Possibilities. And so tonight, as we talk about God and your connection to God, this is also an invitation for you to look at possibilities and see all the amazing and infinite possibilities that are around you, that are your life. And in just a moment, my beautiful guest for tonight is my daughter-in-law, April Kreitzer, and we are going to be talking about this very topic of possibilities. And we're also going to be talking about why it's so hard to talk about God. I've heard from many of you, and you tell me, oh, I've never heard a show where anybody just talks about God so openly. Usually you have to go to church, and it's some religion, and you have to fit inside certain rules and structures. But Goddardy, you just talk about God. And that's the point. that this it truly is a safe place for you to talk about God. And my hope is that by hearing me talk about God, that you start having the courage to talk about God in your life. Think about it. It's easier to talk about money and politics than it is about God. Well, my vision is that that completely turns around, and it's easy and effortless and the most amazing experience that could ever be to talk about God. And imagine how this world will be different when people are not so afraid to say God, and people are able to communicate about their own relationship with God and what God means to them in their life. So take a breath and sit back. And if you're in some place safe and not driving, please close your eyes. And please join me for this meditation. Follow your breath. And as you do, notice that with every in-breath, you relax. And with every exhale, you let go of the day's tensions and stresses and any beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to feel down or suffer in any way. Every in-breath, you bring in the light and love of God, and every exhale, you let go of everything that's not love and not God. Every in-breath, you breathe deeply in love, and every exhale, you release anything that is not love. You're doing great. I invite you to imagine that you are that eagle. Imagine that you are flying over the skies above your house, above your town, above your city, your country. Fly wherever you'd like to fly. And notice that there is no stress or tension. Notice that you are completely free, without constraints or restraints. And that you can dream whatever you want to dream, and you can go wherever you want to go. And imagine that you can soar way up into the sky, further, further, further still, and with every mile higher that you go into the sky, you realize that you have become more and more relaxed. You also realize that you are connecting to the divine, to God, at deeper and deeper intrinsic levels. And imagine that you can fly all the way through the universe, and that suddenly you find yourself in the middle of the universe, and it is so beautiful. It's not as dark as you would think it would be because there are so many stars, millions and billions of stars that just light up the sky. You can feel the electricity just flowing through your eagle body. And as you do, you realize that you are this light and you are this love and that you too are one of those bright shining stars. And you always have been. And in that moment, you actually do turn into a star. And you feel yourself as that light and as that love and as that beauty. And in this moment, you realize that you truly are perfect and you truly are made in the light and love of God. And you can let it all go. Oh, you can forgive yourself. You forgive others. And when you do, you realize that what you're really doing is you're giving it all up to God because God knows what to do with it and always has. And this is the true meaning of forgiveness. Take a deep breath. Allow that breath to bring you back still relaxed and content and peaceful and full of love and light. Thank you for joining me in flight. And so tonight, we are going to be talking about possibilities. And as I mentioned, my guest is my beautiful daughter-in-law, April Kreitzer.
Hi, April.
Hello. Thank you for joining me in Goddardy this evening.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
Yes. Well, before we start talking about possibilities, you and I were talking before Goddardy about just how difficult it is for people to talk about God.
Right.
What has been your experience of that?
Me personally, I can see how difficult it is, especially when you're talking to someone about God, because it's almost this uncomfortable feeling of like, well, what if the other person has different
right.
views? What if they don't believe in God?
Right.
So I think that's been kind of a touchy subject. Mm-hmm. I can see.
Do you think it's because so many people are from different backgrounds, like they have different views about God and different names for God?
Right, yeah.
But when we really look at it, it's regardless of what we call God, it's still God.
Right.
Yeah. What I notice more and more, and I have to tell you, and I think I've shared it before in Goddardy, is that, you know, I hesitated for quite a while for creating Goddardy because there was this concern that, you know, people would not get it or like it, actually talking about God, you know, live on the air. And I thought about that for quite a while, and it got to the point where it didn't matter. Like, I didn't know if that was true or not, but it got to the point where it did not matter, and that Goddardy was asking to be done because it's time that we let go of our fears about God, about talking about God, about, you know, hurting someone's feelings because we say God, you know. I'm so sorry I hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to talk about God. The truth is, I very rarely come across anybody who actually has a reaction to the conversation of God. And that when you bring God up, they actually seem relieved because now here's an opportunity for them to talk about God. Because most people do have these personal and loving conversations with God privately.
They do, yeah.
And so how beautiful it is to actually be able to talk to someone else about God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely, it's just like this feeling of not being alone and being on the same page. It's obviously something that everyone thinks about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that we are coming home to a place where we need to talk about God.
Right.
This is what is really going to cure, quote-unquote, the world's woes.
Right.
And that we really are all connected by God, that we really all are God, no matter what we call God, and no matter what our particular, you know, cultural beliefs are about God, there really is only one divine source, force. And that one is in all of us. And
right.
I think we sense that. I think that when we really look deep enough, to, regardless of our cultural or religious backgrounds, that we really do see that what is God is in every single person.
Yes.
And when we see God in another, how can we possibly go to war with them? How can we possibly strike out against them? How can we possibly take from them or lie from them?
Right.
I think the problem's been that we have forgotten that God is in each of us. Now's the time to remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
That's a great thing to remember, don't you think?
Absolutely.
So, possibilities. So when I read this, I love the part where it says, don't be content easily. Okay? Because, you know, all those spiritual teachers and gurus, right? All the masters have told us that we should be content with what we have.
Right.
This says, don't be content, right? I'm reading it, right?
Right.
Don't be content easily. Those who remain content easily remain small. Small are their joy, small are their ecstasies, small are their silences, small is their being. What do you think Osho means by this?
Well, what I see from it is we're constantly changing. We're constantly striving for more, and when I think of the word possibilities, it just opens up the door that anything's possible. I mean, and I think, wouldn't it be boring if you got to the top and then it's like, okay, you're done, nothing mm-hmm. else? So I think that I can completely understand that. to be content is like, okay, that's it, you're done. Okay, you're joyful, you have everything in life. Okay, now what? So with the possibility of not being content, there's always more, there's always something to strive for.
Right. Right. So that when we're content, what we really are is maybe complacent.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such an interesting concept, because, you know, we've been told not to be content and not to be attached, and, you know, we should just be happy with whatever is.
Right.
Yeah. And really that takes away our power as creators.
Absolutely.
So if I'm just like, I'm going to be content with whatever I have, then this means that I forget that I can create more.
Right. And I think for a lot of people, then the depression kind of kicks in too, because it's like they have their heart desire wants more, but then they're just trying to force it down by like just trying to be content.
Right.
So I just like the thought of always having an open door, like, you know, that you can create whatever you want, even when you think you're content with what's in your life now.
Right.
Because there are some times when it's like, what's going on in your life is perfect at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always perfect.
Right.
Yes. You know, and so the confusion might be like, oh, I shouldn't be happy with what is. I should always want more. And that's not what we're saying,
right,
is it? What we're saying is, you know, that there's something about wanting more and choosing to have more that actually makes us grow.
Absolutely.
And that when we're just like, oh, life's good enough, a lot of times that happens from fear, that we're afraid to ask for more, we're afraid that we can't have more, we're afraid that we'll be disappointed.
Right.
I was talking to someone just the other day about choosing, you know, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? And he actually said to me that he had lots of dreams, but he really wasn't choosing any of them because he was afraid that he would be disappointed.
Right.
And, you know, that's not the worst thing that can happen. The worst thing that can happen is that you don't choose and there's no opportunity for being disappointed.
Right.
So the other day I was drinking a glass of water, or I thought I was going to drink a glass of water. I was at a friend's house and I picked up the glass of water and the light was kind of dim and I... you know, put my head back, the glass up, and guess what? Nothing came out. There was no water. And in that moment, April, I truly knew what disappointment was. I had never known what disappointment was truly before that moment, because I totally expected for water to pour out of this glass and into my mouth. And as soon as there was no water, suddenly I was completely aware that my mouth was dry, and there was actually a sense of like pain and discomfort in my mouth where I hadn't been aware of that before. I just wanted the water. I was just going to drink it. But I got it. Oh, this is what disappointment is. Disappointment is when you totally expect something to happen and it doesn't.
Right.
So I could have just, you know, been disappointed and suffered. But instead, you know what I did?
Got some water.
I got some water. You're a smart girl. And that's the point. That, sure, you know, that there's a chance that when we want something, that we might be disappointed, that we might not get it. There's always that possibility. It does happen. But that doesn't mean that we can't ever get it. That might just mean that we need to get more committed to what we choose.
Right.
To satisfy our thirst, that is.
Right.
And so for those listening out there, and I'm sure a lot of people resonate with this fear of being disappointed, because I've heard this, you know, I've coached people all over the world, and I hear this very, very often, that I'm afraid to really want that, or afraid to choose that, or afraid to go after my dream, because I'm afraid I'm going to be disappointed. And my message to that is that if you stop living your life because you're afraid of being disappointed, then you're not living your life.
Right.
And that if you do want something and you choose it and you find yourself disappointed, well, it's just an opportunity for you to go after it even more and really get it.
Right.
Yeah. And there lies the potential possibilities, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. And then when you do get whatever it is you want or dream, it's just going to mean that much more.
Right, exactly.
Than exactly. If it was just to come immediately, you know, mm-hmm. to strive for it and to get it and to choose it. Wow, that's great.
Yes. Yes. And so how does God fit into all this?
I think how God fits into it is, I feel like God gives us all the resources and we just have to choose it. I mean, I think it's like God wants us to do our part. We have to make a commitment. Mm-hmm. And then God makes it possible for us.
Right.
So that's how I think it's that possibility.
Right.
But you have to choose that possibility.
Yes. Yes. And so the same person that I had the conversation with the other day about, you know, that he didn't want to choose any of his dreams because he was afraid of being disappointed. Right. What I ended up sharing with him is that, you know, as long as he doesn't choose it, he's not telling God or the universe that this is what he wants.
Right.
Once he, like, chooses something and he's saying, God, this is it. I want this. Now God can literally move heaven and earth and synchronize everything, reorganize everything, anything, to make his dream a reality. Like, right. God's in there. Like, oh, yeah, okay, you want this? Fine, I'm going to make this happen for you. But if this person does not choose it, and he's just, you know, has these dreams, but he's not choosing it, and he's going about, and he's like, oh, I'm working towards my dreams. Look, every day I'm working for my dreams. What he's saying is, hey, God, don't bother helping me. I've got this one covered. I could do this on my own. Thanks for your help, but no, not this time. I'll handle it myself. And it seems ridiculous. And maybe he will reach his dreams. Maybe he won't, I don't know. But what I do know is that until he chooses his dream, that God can't help him make it happen. Because God doesn't know that he wants that glass of water or that type of life or that relationship or whatever it is that he wants. You know, we talk about manifesting. Many people have seen The Secret. And truly, nothing happens until you choose it.
Right.
And as soon as you choose it, basically you're telling God, this is what I want, and make it happen. And this is when all sorts of amazing miracles happen, all sorts of possibilities materialize, things that are ridiculously impossible become possible. Simply because we choose it.
Right.
So, you know, I have like a million like stories of miracles and manifestations, and many of them actually came from a single trip in Italy a few years ago with my dearest friends. And I don't know if you know this one, so I'm going to share it with you.
Okay.
So we had rented a car and we were going from the Amalfi Coast down to Florence, and we didn't know that it was nearly impossible to get a hotel room. Especially like, you know, weekend and all of that. And we decided that we absolutely needed internet, and we had a list of one hotel that had internet in Florence. And we went to Florence and we couldn't find it, and we drove around and we tried to ask directions, but nobody spoke English and we didn't speak Italian. And finally somebody spoke a little English and just basically started laughing us that we did not have a reservation in Florence, because no one goes to Florence without a reservation. And he definitely didn't help us find the hotel. And I started to get this sense that, like, the one room that they had was gone. Like, it was going. Like, our room was going. And a sense of urgency. We need to find this now. And it still took a little while longer. And then finally, we pull into the driveway. And it was like an old house. It was an inn. And I walked in. My friends waited in the car. And I went over to the desk. And I said, you know, we need a triple. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. We just, you know, gave our last room away. And I had decided that we were going to be staying at this inn. And that, in fact, there were no other, there were all, when we drove around, all we saw was no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. And we chose to be in Florence and stay in Florence. Yeah. And so I asked him to look again. And he said, madame, there's no rooms. We have no rooms. That last one we just gave away, there's no rooms. And I have to mention that they only had like 8 rooms in this whole place. So not like they had 800 rooms. And, we had to go through the computer. He got 8 rooms. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But I had decided that we were going to stay there. And so I very nicely said, oh, could you look again? And he just glanced down and he said, I'm sorry, I have nothing. And I talked to him for a few minutes and I said, would you just look again? And again, he looked down and I'm sorry. And he was very, very nice and polite. And I was very, very nice and polite. And I just kept asking him to look. And then finally, about the 5th or 6th time, he looks up, he looks at me, pulls out a key and says, let me show you to your room. And it was a triple.
Wow.
And so how did that happen? There were no rooms. Certainly he would know if he had a room, out of 8 rooms, if there was a room. And the way in which that happened, and this is exactly how God works, I chose it. And I let God know it. And I stayed true to what I chose. I could have walked out, after he told me the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 4th time that there were no rooms. I could have walked. But I knew there was a room, because I chose it.
Right.
And he finally realized that this lady's not going to give up, so I better really look here. Oh, I'm really looking. There's that room. And the greatest part and the funniest part about the whole story is that he didn't even blink when suddenly, 1 minute there was no room and the next minute there was a room.
That's good. Wow.
This is possibilities.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the experience I had a couple of years ago when, I don't know if anyone's familiar with Brian Cady. One morning I woke up a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, and I had this urgency that I needed to go to her school. Now,
right. This
is, I've gone to Brian Cady's, one-day seminars, a couple of years previous, so it wasn't something that I was thinking about or reading her books or anything. Just one day popped into my head that I had to go to her school, and I felt very urgent about. And then I looked on her site, and it was very, very expensive to go to the school, and I felt this urgency that I needed to go to the quickest school, which was only about a month away in Florida. And I decided to contact and see if I could get a scholarship, because there was no way I could afford it. It was like $5,000 to go to the school. But I just felt very strongly that it was going to change my life to go to the school, and I needed to go.
Right.
And I remember the moment I got an email back saying that I was not accepted for the scholarship, and I immediately felt this disappointment. Well, why? I chose it. I chose I'm going to go to the school. Why did I get rejected? And I don't know if you remember what you told me. You told me that if I chose it, it would come to be. So I immediately got on the phone with Brian Cady's team there and called day after day after day, and not giving them the option to say no, but how can we make it happen that I can go to the school? What do I need to do in order to make this happen? And I called for about a week.
Mm-hmm. And you were determined to keep calling until you got it, until you got the scholarship, yes.
And I would. And even if I had to walk there, I was going to do it. I was willing to do what it was going to take to do it. And I was completely 100% committed that I was going to go to the school. And about a week after calling, they all knew my name there, obviously, because
yes.
I was calling, emailing relentlessly. And I got accepted.
I remember that when you finally called, and you would say the same thing every day,
right.
And then finally a woman said to you, yes, April, we know who you are. We know why you're calling. We all know who you are.
But it was, I chose it. I was going to go. Whatever it took. And I just love that. Because I love that possibility that I know, even if it seems impossible, because it seemed impossible to me.
Right.
There was no way I was going to, and then I had to pay for the hotel and the food, and how was I going to do that? And the money just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 days, I had all the money to go.
Right. Because you chose it. Right. You told God, I choose this. And you were committed to it, and that's the point.
Right.
And that's when the magic happens, and that's when God gets to show up. So miracles, okay, miracles. Miracles are when God shows up. It's when you choose something and then you let go of how it has to happen.
Right.
That's it. Like anything could happen. We could literally manifest anything right now.
Absolutely.
We don't believe it because we have stories attached to it.
Okay.
I was about a year and a half, I was up in the mountains and I was thinking, I was by myself and I was having these thoughts about manifestation and really looking at that point for some secrets behind it. And I started to think about a butterfly and like manifesting a butterfly. Now I go up there all the time and I've never seen a butterfly up there. Never. But within a few minutes, not just one butterfly, but about 5, 6, or 7 butterflies flew right by my face.
Wow.
How did that happen? Never saw a butterfly after that up there. How did that happen? When we surrender how it has to look, how it has to happen, then suddenly the divine, God, can do what God does best, and that is creating magic and miracles. Everything is a miracle. Life is a miracle.
Right.
And we forget. We take it for granted because it's so common. But just because something's common doesn't mean it's not a miracle. Everywhere you look, what you're looking at is a miracle. Think about that. The sky, the air, your body, your heart, your child, your sight, your ability to feel, your ability to love. They're all miracles. All miracles. And so, your son, my grandson, who's almost a year now.
Right.
Yeah. And he lives in this world of possibilities.
Absolutely. He does.
And we watch him as he explores the world.
Right.
Trying to figure out what is possible and what's not possible and what can he do and what can he not do. And one of those things that he's working on right now is walking.
Right.
Yes, it's a possibility.
Yes.
He falls down a lot.
Yes, he does.
Yes. So when he falls down, do you think he's like, oh, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to be a walker. I'm going to be 30 and I'm still going to be crawling. You think he's like telling himself these stories?
No.
What do you think's happening to him inside?
I think he's just learning and discovering and finding new ways how he's going to do it. Because I see him every time he falls down, he just gets up again and tries
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any disappointment?
No.
Why not?
I think there's just no thought of disappointment.
Because it's going to be?
Right.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what do you think he has to teach us about possibilities?
I think it's just this openness of innocence, of just living life as is and not having any thoughts about anything. I think we just overthink everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think if we would just do
right.
instead of thinking.
Right.
Because if you even think about it, even your fears, your head's what messes you up. It's all right. in your head. If you were to just do something and not think about it, wouldn't it be scary?
Right.
So I think it's just our thoughts that really stop us from living our lives.
Right.
I think we should be doing more doing.
More doing,
living.
That's that your new
yeah.
slogan? More doing, less thinking.
Right.
Live more, think less. Right? That's good. Live more, think less. I see the bumper stickers now.
I really like that.
I do too. So I'm seeing like a live more. So I'm seeing like you parasailing, you know, off the beach, right? So that so part of it's like you're parasailing, you're taking off, and then there's this brain with a line through it. More living, less thinking.
It's true.
It is true.
And our thoughts can be really great tools, but I think what we do is we we just use it way, way, way too much.
That we depend on it. That we think that this is how we should function when it's not. That right. that our minds and our thoughts actually are supposed to be of support rather than running the show.
Exactly.
Like they're not. The minds are not supposed to be the masters. They're supposed to be the servants.
Right.
Right. So what is the master?
Our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Our heart. And where do you think that God communicates to us?
Our heart.
Our heart, of course. Right. Right. Heart's not communicating in your head. That's communicating in your heart.
Right.
Yes. And so when we listen to our hearts more, we're listening to God more. And that just makes sense because God's language is love.
Right.
So, of course, God's going to speak love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like you go to Greece, you don't expect them to speak Italian. You go to Greece, you want to communicate, you speak Greek.
Right.
You go to God, you want to communicate, you speak God. You speak love.
Right.
It's so simple. And everybody knows how to speak love. Even if you think you don't, you do. It's the most natural thing in the world. And when we make those choices out of love, love for ourselves, love for the world, love for others, then suddenly those choices are supported divinely. And absolutely. There could be no other way. Love is the way.
One of my favorite stories is when you went to Italy, if you want to share, and the man on the street that didn't speak English and you didn't speak Italian, and the love.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, in Florence, and my friends and I are walking along the side of the river, and the sidewalk started to get narrow, and my friends crossed over, and I didn't for some reason, and I see this man and his family, probably his wife and his grown daughter, coming down the path that I was on, so he's coming the opposite way. And for some reason, like, our eyes just met, like, quite a distance away, and they just stayed connected, which is very unusual. Usually, like, if your eyes meet, you know, you look the other way, and you're, like, intentionally, can't look at that person anymore. I looked at them long enough, and they're still looking. But no, our eyes just connected and stayed connected, and when we finally came upon each other, there were no words exchanged. We just totally threw our arms around each other and hugged, and he was crying, and I was crying. He's speaking Italian, I'm speaking English. Yet we have no idea what the other was saying, but yet we did know what each other was saying. And I glanced, and at the side of my eye, and I saw his wife, and his probably his grown daughter, and they're just like, "What's going on? Does Dad know this crazy American woman? Like, what's going on? Like, well, how would he know her? You know?" And it didn't matter. You know, language didn't matter. We connected, and there was such intense love. I could feel it. My friends across the street. I didn't know she knew anybody in Italy. But there we were, and there was that moment. And I know I will never forget it, and I imagine that he'll never forget it either.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that that's possible all the time.
Absolutely.
It's possible all the time. And I've had those connections before with other people in other ways. That was probably the most powerful just because of just how much we embraced each other and the hug and this just total exchange of love that was so beautiful and so enormous. But that's possible every day.
Absolutely.
Every way you go. There are no strangers. We just think that there are. There's just other aspects of us. Again, you know, we talked about how, like, everything is God, and you are God, and everyone is God. And so if that's true, then really what you're looking at is yourself.
Right.
Every way you look, you're just looking at yourself. And so, what's there to really be afraid of? I don't think there's anything to be afraid of.
Right.
And that we just need to remember that there's nothing but God. And when we remember that, and we really see someone else, it triggers that memory in them too. And there lies the beautiful healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So possibilities. What's possible for you today? What's possible in your life? What's possible in the world? And when I think of possibilities, what I think of is the dream. And this is a dream. We're all dreaming. God is dreaming. This is God dreaming. We are God's dream, and we are God dreaming. And so what is it that we choose to dream? What do you choose to dream into your life? What do you choose to dream into your reality? What do you, we, choose to dream into the world? Because whatever we dream, we create as more than a possibility, as a reality. And this is the power that we have as creator. And it could be no other way. And so, in this moment, I invite you to take a deep breath. And look inside your heart. And what is it that you want to dream that you've been afraid to? What possibilities have you secretly imagined but you're afraid to say? What is it that you would truly like to create in your life and in the world? Whatever it is, it's not just your dream, it's not just your imagination. It's God speaking to you. This is how God communicates to us, through our dreams and through our imagination. And then we turn around and pray to God to make them happen. Well, guess what? God's already prayed it to you. So of course God wants to make it happen. But you have to choose yes. And by choosing that which you desire and that which you dream, then God gets to provide the magic. Hey, you got the easy part. It's a piece of cake.
I like that.
It truly is. Yes. So it's time for our prayer circle. And so, April, is there anybody that you would like to put into the prayer circle tonight?
My husband, Dustin.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
To say everybody.
Everybody. The world.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. That's good. And so if you haven't joined us before for Goddardy, what the prayer circle is an opportunity for healing. And so you may enter the prayer circle. You may choose someone or many people to put into the prayer circle. You may put the world in the prayer circle and certainly the earth in the prayer circle. And I will guide you through a very short meditation. And it is a meditation of healing. And so I also invite you to pray. So even if you are asking for prayer, I invite you to be a prayer as well. Well, that doesn't sound right, a prayer. But you know what I mean. Okay, so take a deep breath once again. And imagine a beautiful golden ring of light. And inside this ring of light is this beautiful healing circle. And you may enter. And you may place anyone into the circle you desire. And most of all, I imagine the earth and all her children, all of us, inside this circle. And once you have everyone inside the circle, take another breath and simply ask God for divine healing, to return to wholeness all of these beings and this beautiful earth that is now inside this healing golden circle. And as we do, you may notice that a beautiful, beautiful, powerful beam of light comes down from above into the circle, and everyone in the circle is suddenly filled with this golden light. And if that is you, you may feel tingling and heat running through your whole body right now. And just breathe and allow that light to move through you. Allow that light to move through everyone in the circle and the earth herself. And with every breath, more and more light is invited in. With every exhale, whatever it is that needs to be healed is released permanently. And with gratitude. And know that this prayer circle is available to you at any time, and that you may enter it, or you may invite others into it, or place them in there yourself. And know that God sees you, and God loves you, that you truly are divine, and you are already healed, and it is done, it is done, it is done. So be it. And so, April, in the last few minutes of Goddardji, what wise words would you like to leave our Goddardji listeners with tonight?
I just say live from your heart. That's where God is, and it won't stir your own.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. And think less, live more.
Right.
So if you guys see any bumper stickers out there, you know where it came from.
Right.
I want to thank you all. I want to thank you. You know who you are. For joining us tonight for Goddardji. For opening up your mind and opening up your heart. And remembering who you really are. And that you truly are love. And that you are made of this love and this light and of God. And I invite you to start over. Whatever that means for you, wherever you are, if it's the beginning of your day or the end of your day, that you get to start over. That no matter what's been going on in your life, that you get to start over. And how do you start over? Well, it's simple. You start over by choosing love. There really is no other choice, that whether you choose love now or later, eventually you will choose love. Because you see what happens is, every time we choose anything other than or less than love, we have pain and we have suffering. And that pain and suffering will continue and is designed as such so that we will look inside of ourselves and use that pain and suffering as feedback so that we might adjust ourselves. And then choose in the direction of love. So ultimately, love is the answer. It's the only answer. And it's that simple. It's not complicated. We've been making it so complicated. But it truly is easy and simple and available to you right now. And is the true divine healing love is, that is. And it's easy. Because what you're choosing is what you are. It would be silly to choose anything else, don't you think so? Please visit me on my website at nanice.com, at nanice.com, for tons of free articles on spirituality and enlightenment and how to overcome depression and love and fear and awakening and everything you could possibly imagine. It truly is designed for your own enlightenment and awakening. And while you're there, there's a free book to download, I Am, and it is of the highest vibration, and you will love reading it. And there's also free song downloads, as well as, don't forget, to take the pledge. The pledge will help you change your life and be the change that you want to see in the world. And you'll even be able to download a certificate to hang on your wall that says that you took the pledge and you are that difference in the world. And so the last thought that I would like to leave you with is this. That no matter where you are in the world and no matter who you are, you truly are loved. You might have made mistakes and you might be making mistakes now. Nonetheless, that you are loved and God loves you. And there's nothing that you can do to take that love away. And when you wake up to the true knowing that you are unconditionally loved and you are unconditionally loved, then everything else will take care of itself. You have been listening to Goddardji. I'm Nanice. Have a great week.
It's time to recognize that a second-hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless frights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. to the mountains, I've slept in the streets, searched every great mind, but no one did I meet. I searched every house in the eyes of those who knew, but only to realize there weren't even a few. Endlessly I searched through all this facade, but all I ever found was just a secondhand God. I was looking for God in all the wrong ways. I thought I found him once or twice, but he never stayed. Star-eyed baby of mine, open your mind, open your eyes. It's time to recognize that a secondhand God is just mirrors and lies. You cry out in the night, fears and tears and endless frights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. Somebody whispered these words in my ear. I've got something to tell you that you want to hear. I thought it Mother Mary, an angel, a guide. I said, show yourself to me now. Why continue to hide? He said, the answer you've been seeking is not outside. The way to get to paradise is right inside. There's no place to hide and no one else you could be. Why couldn't I see? You've always answered my cry. Now who am I? Why did it take me so long to buy? A secondhand God was all I could find, until I stopped and turned the journey inside. Synchronicity rings true. It's now I finally see it could only have been me. I you my destiny. Star-eyed baby of mine, you've opened your mind, you've opened your eyes. Just now you've recognized that a secondhand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless frights. I held your hand, you set you free. It's not hard, now you believe. It's not hard, now you